Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, well, we got a Friday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show chock full of Soulless news this afternoon. Ethan's going to be handling those chores. And Fred's here, the Hall of Famer, so we got him in the studio talking about some stuff here this afternoon.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Thank you, Kenny Wallace. I had to press that. And there was something I was going to ask you, Fred.
You wanted to talk about closed captioning?
Oh, yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because there was a piece that was in some, let me see if I can search this on my reading list. This would probably be a better topic to talk about if Sue were here, but you brought it up and it was something I wanted to talk about, because I have, you know, for years, been annoyed that I go into my house and on one of my streaming services, my kids were there, or they put on the closed caption. So the words, right? So
right.
You're watching, and this has become fashionable for younger people to do. I think my kids might have started this even going back to Game of Thrones, which I kind of understand, because if you don't hear all the dialogue from that, it might have been appropriate. But here's what I have discovered as I, you know, try to watch entertainment now. When we got the puppy earlier this summer, we were keeping him to the upstairs confined so we wouldn't have access to carpet, right? So you've been in my home before for one of my soirees, for the downstairs gated off and, you know, not letting him down there. I bring it up because my man cave, my TV, it's really not mine, Becky, we watch the big TV down there, like if we're watching games or something or movies. But we've just, for a couple of months, gotten more used to being upstairs. Well, I have high vaulted ceilings, and it's hard to hear the audio. I have a sound bar in that room just because there's really no place to put a sound system. So it's a sound bar. It's a good one. It's Sonos. But you can't, sometimes I can't hear. So I have really fallen into this habit this summer where I'm putting on the damn closed captions. Like, I'll even still, I think I did this last night with a show. I can't remember what it was. I'll be annoyed that they're on, and I'll be like, damn it, I'm going to take those things. And then I take them off, and then I end up, and I don't know if your system does this, but it doesn't do it on every streaming service, but on most of them, I think Netflix in particular, if you do your 10-second rewind or something like that, you're like, hey, wait, there's times I just don't even understand what the person is saying, and I rewind it, and I still can't hear it, but if you have the closed caption, you'll know what they say. So I got so used to just rewinding 10 or 20 seconds and then seeing the temporary closed captioning that now, and I feel, you know, I'm ashamed of this. I really am. Now I'm putting on the closed captioning like on a regular basis.
Oh, I am too.
But I stood against that, Fred, for so long. But two things have happened. That's one, okay, just because of being upstairs. But when I watch these shows, like I watched a show called Department Q. And I want to thank the listener that told me, because when I watched the first half episode of that, I wasn't into it. And there was a listener who said, oh, you got to stick with that. And it was pretty good. I like it. It's about cold cases. It's set in the UK. I watch a show that Jane watches called Slow Horses with Gary Oldman. And you can't understand a damn word that Gary Oldman's saying.
Because of all the accent.
The accent, and then he plays kind of a character that's liquored up and all this stuff as well. So on those shows in particular, I've kind of stuck with the closed captioning. But there was a, I can't find it now, because there was a piece that I read about this, and I thought, like, you know what? I just cannot believe. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay, so this was in the Wall Street Journal. I can't find this here, Fred.
I'll tell you while you're doing that. I have it on, you know, on whatever service we're using. Like right now for Apple TV, if I'm going to watch a City game, so when I've got the MLS package, I have the closed caption on, so I can sometimes, you know, you don't understand the announcers, and I like to read it. Except the closed captioning is like always where the ball is, and yeah. That's like really frustrating. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, that does get frustrating because yeah. You want to see. So this was from last month, a couple of weeks ago. Closed captions are cool now. Just ask anyone under 40. More viewers, especially younger ones, are using tools that transcribe dialogue in the content they're watching online, from Netflix to movies on TikTok videos. This isn't just about watching Squid Game in Korean with English subtitles. Closed captions, which display text in the same language as the original audio, have been crucial for a long time for many people with hearing loss, they say. Now, they're a must-have for plenty of people without hearing loss, too, helping them better understand the audio or allowing them to multitask. I'm not sure what the multitasking part is of that. Because this is one of the things that does annoy me, and this is why I try to turn them off. I'm always focused. This is my main criticism of it. I'm always focused on reading the words, and I'm not paying attention to what's actually happening on the screen, if that makes sense. So how do you multitask with the words on when you're supposed to be?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't think you can, because you got to be reading the words. What else could you be doing?
Yeah. So they say, basically, this is a pretty stark number. 70%, and I believe it because my kids, your kids, right? 70% of adult Gen Z, that would be ages 18 to 25. So I have one in that. Evan's, you know, 28 right now. 53% of millennials, he would be a millennial, up to age 41, said that they watch content with the text most of the time. That's the majority of people under 40, right? That's compared with slightly more than a third of older respondents. This is something that they did a survey. There's an app called Preply that did the survey. And they quote someone in here called I can't even pronounce this person's name. 23-year-old says, I can't think of a time in the past couple of months or years that I haven't had the subtitles or captions on. In recent years, in the story, they say Apple, Google, and other tech companies expanded the on-device auto-captioning options. Netflix found creative ways to describe audio, not just dialogue, to viewers who are deaf and hard of hearing. So I noticed this on Netflix. They even say, and maybe I think HBO does this too, or Max. Now it's HBO Max, where it's not only the words, but it'll say
music, thrilling music.
Yeah, thrilling. There's been a couple of them that are just kind of funny. And then they describe, you know, heavy breathing or something. You know, you would see not only the words, but you would essentially see what the script would say. You know, what an actor would see.
Footsteps approaching.
Yeah, exactly, which is kind of interesting. But I can't believe that I'm sort of heading in the other direction on this. And I'm more than just mildly embarrassed by it, if you know what I mean, because it seems that here's one they offer. This is good. It seems like I'm just caving into what the masses are demanding. In the latest season of Stranger Things, which that would be the one from 4 years ago, subtitles amuse viewers with rich descriptions as tentacles squelching wetly. That's a good one, right?
Yeah.
The number of people accessing captions and subtitles has more than doubled since 2017. So there you go. It is not your imagination. I'm doing it more and more often
because
I got sick and tired of just rewinding and trying to hear what the people are saying.
And it improves the experience if you know what's being said.
But again, Fred, it covers up some of the screen, and I get annoyed because I feel like I'm not watching the actual acting that's taking place. But I've given up because everyone's doing it right now. We have Frank Cusimano's coming up here at the end of the hour after Paul Hall. We'll talk some sports with him. Big Mizzou, Alabama game tomorrow. I guess, and I didn't watch any of this because I was at Soul on Fire. I was seeing the movie last night, but the Blues had a bit of a stinker in the home opener, didn't they?
Ethan was there.
Was he?
Well, at least he showed up. Yeah, because the Blues were shut out 5-0.
The Dodgers advanced to the National League Championship Series after a weird 11th inning misplay by the Phillies. So
I watched that.
Did they have the bases loaded?
Yeah.
And the pitcher.
It was a tap back to the pitcher who fumbled the ball. And instead of just taking the safe out to first, there were two outs. He threw home and threw wildly to home. And the runner wouldn't have been out at home anyway because he had already beat the throw.
And even the catcher was pointing go to first, go to first. He just had a brain cramp. I feel bad for that guy. And you had all, you know, his teammates were, you know, consoling him.
Yeah, yeah. Even the manager, when he was walking off the field, stopped him and talked to him for 20
but
seconds.
Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You're in a situation where, you know, now, let me say this about the other series. We can talk about this with Frank. Now I'm worried about the damn Cubs, Fred. I thought the Brewers looked so good in the first two games, and they did not look too good in the last two games. The Cubs looked really good last night. They kept pouring it on. At one point, I was so confused because at one point I was upstairs, and someone had just hit a homer, two-run homer, and it was 7-0. And I go downstairs, and it was 5-0. I'm like, wait a second. Is my TV just not caught up? But they reviewed that one, right?
I was confused by that one, too. You're right. I guess it was, like, above the foul pole.
Right. But it looked like it was a really high, towering home run. And then they must have, because I missed the call when they came back, but they must have done replay review on that one, right?
I didn't know you could replay foul balls, but I guess you did.
They must have, though.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think, yeah. That's the only reason I think they took two runs off the board. But anyway, we'll talk to Frank about all that kind of stuff. The Yankees are out of the playoffs. The Chiefs have more question marks. I'll tell you what, that football game last night, I was pretty interested in that because I have Jalen Hurts on one fantasy team. I have Saquon on the other. I turned the score on when I got home from the movie. Becky had kind of forgotten about football because it's on Amazon. You know, sometimes you don't think about it. So she kind of spaced it out last night. I turn it on. I think this might have been the final. It's 34-17 Giants. This Scataboo kid who, you know, the Eagles have Saquon. Saquon doesn't do anything last night. The Scataboo kids get three touchdowns, and the Giants are now 2-4 after being, I think, 0-4, and they're on a little bit, and the Eagles have lost two in a row. This is one of the reasons, you know, Mike Elam was talking about the NFL. This is one of the reasons I love the NFL, because it's so predictable, and that any given Sunday mantra is certainly true. Okay, Paul Hall coming up at the bottom of the hour. Ethan with Ethan's News. Pinch hitting for Sue coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Traffic.
You know, we have a great act here from St. Louis, El Monstero. Many of you are familiar with them. They are a Pink Floyd tribute act, and they've done amazing things even outside of St. Louis, Kansas City, Chicago, more of a regional act. But, of course, they do their run at the pageant every year. I bring it up because there's an act that's coming to St. Louis on Monday night at a club called The Sovereign, which is called Killer Queen. Fred, you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Is it Monday or Tuesday?
I thought it was Monday.
Okay. All right. You're probably right.
But I might be wrong. But Monday or Tuesday, the band Killer Queen will be here, and Patrick Myers. And this is a crazy story because they kind of started, you know, not thinking it would turn into anything. And for the past literally 30 years, they've been filling really, really big venues overseas, and they're back here in St. Louis. I've been here before, but Patrick's going to jump on the phone with us at 5:04. We might have, oh man, I hope he can join us, but John O'Leary's got his movie Soul on Fire opening today. He's on an airplane. We're hoping that he joins us. He's been communicating with you, Fred, but he might not be off the plane in time, but we do have a backup, right?
Yeah, he set up his own backup.
Okay, so we'll keep you posted on that. Ethan's here to do this.
These allegations are deep concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News, presented by U.S. Men's Medical Center.
Yeah, it is. Happy World Egg Day, everyone.
Oh.
Yes.
Egg Day.
Eggs?
I'm in on that.
Big fans?
I eat a lot of eggs.
Any type.
The International Egg Commission. Yes, that's a thing. It started in 1996. So it's the 30th year that it's being celebrated. The 30th World Egg Day.
I wonder what the National Egg Commission does.
Well,
outside of celebrating this day.
Maybe they put together this recent poll. I can't tell you for sure if they did, but I can tell you what the poll says. 84% of Americans like or love eggs, and just 3% of us fully hate them. But even a lot of egg lovers are split on this next question. Are you a ketchup on eggs person?
No.
No.
I am also a no. That makes three of us.
Salsa I can do.
Yeah, me too.
I've never tried anything
like salsa,
that.
Like in an omelet or something? Right. Sure.
Okay, a new poll out this week asked about different food debates, and one that made the list, and here are a few of the food topics that people are oddly passionate about. The first one, just mentioned it, ketchup on eggs. 32% of Americans say they like or love ketchup on eggs.
Wait, 32%?
Seems a little bit high. Okay, that
I'm very disturbed about our country if that's the case.
Doesn't restore my faith in humanity, that's
no,
for
me
sure.
Either.
Number two, is chili a soup, a stew, or neither?
I'm going to say it's a stew. Or maybe neither. It's not a soup.
It's definitely not a soup.
Stu wins 60% of the vote, 23% said neither, and 18% think that chili is a soup. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
No.
I would also say no. 40% say yes, 53% say no. The other 7% still haven't made up their mind. Is a hamburger a sandwich?
No.
No.
Really?
I don't look at it that way.
I would say that it's a sandwich.
It's a hamburger. Thank you, Fred.
Sandwich has like two pieces of bread or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, I mean,
it's a bun.
Well,
it's not
I got
bread.
A bun. Okay. No.
You didn't help yourself out there,
I know,
Fred.
But no,
I can't give you a good reason for why a hamburger is
just
not a sandwich.
In your mind, you can't categorize.
I'm just not
it
going
on
with
the
it
menu.
Exactly.
On the, when you're at the restaurant, you can't see burger
no,
under the sandwich
no
column.
It
it's under the burger column.
Exactly.
I get that. I understand. How should a sandwich be cut in half?
Hmm. I tend to like it diagonal.
As a child, for me, it was always just down the middle, just
really
in half.
That's how
but
it was
I'm,
for me as well.
I'm trending more toward diagonal.
Look at that. It only took you 60-something
yep
years, Fred.
Well,
congratulations.
49% of the people agree with you. They say diagonal's the way to go. 29% say vertically, and 22% said neither. I don't know what the other option
just not cut.
Don't misinterpret this at all, please, ladies and gentlemen, but I do go both ways on that one. So, just saying.
I'm going to keep moving forward.
Yeah, thank you.
Is coleslaw a salad?
No.
No.
I think agree it probably is, though, right?
I'm going to say no. Pineapple on pizza, yay or nay?
Absolutely not.
Never.
No, you gentlemen are true Americans. I would also agree with you both. Is leftover pizza better warm or cold? I like this one.
All the above.
Yeah, I like it either way.
Good answers.
Here's my determination, though, because we just got an air fryer recently. And
good purchase.
Like, if you put the pizza in the air fryer, it's okay, heat it up. But I like cold pizza.
Yeah.
Only 28% prefer it cold. I'm the same way. It's good either way. When pouring a bowl of cereal, do you pour the milk or the cereal first?
Cereal first.
Oh, that's
we've
yeah
had this argument before.
I'm thankful you gentlemen aren't sickos, unlike 4% of the country that put their milk in first.
What's wrong with those people?
And last but not least, best brownie, edge piece or middle piece?
Middle piece.
Oh, I don't know. I'll go with middle piece.
I would also say the middle. I think it's the softest.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I heard the Cardinals once debate in one of their shows, well, how do you put your shoes and socks on? Sock, then a shoe, sock, then the other shoe.
The Cardinals in Rome or the
no,
or
no, no,
the
no,
Cardinals
the
or the Vatican
Cardinals in the
or
locker room.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was like half and half. Half the guys, you know, were like, you know, first one sock and then a shoe.
Yeah, that's
then another
just wrong.
So, that's
get
like,
your
that's
freaking
wrong
socks on,
I
man.
Usually,
come
here's,
on.
Here's what I would say. I usually, I would say 80% of the time I do both socks and then shoes.
Right.
But every once in a while, I don't know
really
why, I'll just do the sock. Yeah.
Huh. You got issues, Mark.
Yeah.
45% said edge of the pan. 39% said middle. That makes me sick. And the other, this is where we really all are. 16% are happy with any brownie.
But what about the shoes? You were just talking about the shoes.
That wasn't.
I brought that up. That
was oh, you brought that up. Okay.
Okay.
Man, I'm so confused.
On Halloween, porch pirates only want your candy as opposed to the rest of the year when porch pirates really want to steal your stuff. According to new research, Americans lost an estimated $15.7 billion with a B to Porch Pirates last year alone. That is 241 million stolen packages. Have you guys ever fallen victim? Porch Pirates that you know of?
Not that I know of. No.
Me neither. Fortunately, the average loss isn't huge, $65 per package. I would beg to differ that that is big enough, and 85% are under $100, but that doesn't make, of course, the inconvenience any less frustrating. The most commonly stolen packages, Amazon's is 72%, UPS 31%, FedEx 30%, and USPS 29%.
How often?
Well, the reason USPS is so low is because the packages never arrive. So that's one of the reasons.
Hit the freaking bell. My goodness.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, Fred.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go ahead and let's move on to birthdays and on this day in history. Happy birthday to Dale Earnhardt Jr., who is 51 today. Brett Favre, 56 today. And Mark's favorite state governor, Gavin Newsom, 58 years old today.
How old is he?
58.
58, okay.
I will say that he does not look 58.
No, he looks
He looks younger than that. Also, a couple of...
A lot of Botox.
A couple of Cardinals, former St. Louis Cardinals birthdays. Placido Polanco was born in 1975. Colton Wong in 1990, as well as Shelby Miller and Genesis Cabrera in 1996.
Nice.
On this day in history, in 1845, the U.S. Naval Academy opened in Annapolis. In 1962, Bobby Pickett's The Monster Mash was banned by the BBC because they thought the song was too morbid. How great is that? That cracked me up. 22 years ago in 2003, Kill Bill Volume 1 was released. 19 years ago in 2006, Google bought YouTube for $1.65 billion.
Crowd didn't react well, but I bet the stockholders did at that time.
I bet they did. And then there's some good Cardinals on this day in history, too. Albert Pujols apparently loves October 10th because in 2001, he hit his first career postseason home run in the NLCS off Randy Johnson. In 2004... he hit another home run against the Dodgers that allowed for the Cardinals to advance to the NLCS. And then in 2011, he hit two more home runs in Game 2 of the NLCS against the Brewers. So Albert Pujols loves October 10th, apparently.
Well, this was when we used to play in October, of course.
Unfortunately.
We're not going to do that for a while anymore.
And now our random fact of the day. Nachos are called nachos after their inventor, Ignacio Nacho Anaya, who was the host at a Mexican restaurant called the Victory Club. One night in 1943, some U.S. Army wives came in late, but the chef had already left. So Nacho went in to the kitchen to throw some together for them. It was essentially known as nachos because of that.
There you go.
Wow, that's a good one.
He's Nacho Mama either. Thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday afternoon at 4:30, we visit with my friend Paul Hall on entertainment. He's with Common Guy Films. He's also up in Milwaukee. That's where we met a couple of decades ago. And maybe we should start on the baseball front. I went and saw Soul on Fire last night, Paul. We can talk about that. But then I saw the score of the baseball game. I think when I tuned it was 3-0, but the Brewers are now even with the Cubs, and the Cubs seem to have some momentum. I'm concerned. I'm guessing you are as well.
I'm very concerned. I skipped going out to movies last night simply to watch that game, and I regret my decision to this day. Here's the one thing. I will give you this. If you want to place a bet, if you're a betting man or woman out there, bet first inning run scored by one of the two teams. Every inning, every game in this series, there's been runs in the first inning. Either that, or if you think it's time and the bubble's going to burst, maybe you bet none. I don't know. I'm not betting on it.
Yeah, great advice there. That's awesome. You went both ways. You wavered on both of those. Look, you know, I can say this comfortably. As you know, I spent 9.5 years in Milwaukee. I became very close with the team because I worked for the Brewers flagship. I'm a Cardinals fan, though. And at the time, Wendy Selig and her husband, Laurel, they knew I was a Cardinals fan outside of any time the Brewers weren't playing anyone else. And I really, you know, became a fan. My wife is a Whitefish Bay native, so we have Wisconsin ties. The same cannot be said, I don't think, in Milwaukee for the Cardinals, because I don't think a lot of people in Milwaukee ever root for the Cardinals because of 1982. And, Paul, you know that still really hurts up there, even though it was so long ago. However, I can't speak for all of St. Louis, but we have passionate baseball fans here. We do not like the Cubs, so certainly that helps. But I would love to see the Brewers not only in the World Series, but to finally win a World Series. They're one of a handful of franchises that have not secured a World Championship. But, damn it, you got to beat the Cubs tomorrow. Don't you?
Yeah, you got to beat the Cubs, and then you got to beat the Dodgers, and then who knows? I mean, it's not an easy run to get there, but let's do it starting tomorrow.
Well, I hope they can, you know, rebound, and now they go, well, now it doesn't matter. That's just the deciding game tomorrow, right? Because it's a best of five. Yeah, so they're back at Miller Park. Okay, what do you want to start with here movie-wise this afternoon?
Let's go to the theater for Roof Man, the brand new movie in theaters now.
Oh, this one looks good. I hope it is.
I don't like going back in time and imagining how things could have gone differently. Like, what if I made different choices? Would I have ended up here?
It's been 6 months and still no leads on the whereabouts of the escaped convict known as the Roof Man.
So this is based on a true story, isn't it?
It is based on a true story. Rarely that you get like comedies like this that are half comedy, half, you know, kind of drama action type film. This is the story of Jeffrey Manchester. He was a guy who just wanted to do right by people for so long, but he decided the one he wanted to do the right by the most was his family. And to do that, he kind of would rob places. He would give people coats before he locked them in the freezer. He would do things that were nice before he would do things like take their money, and he breaks out of jail. He's just an observant guy and finds himself hiding in kind of a upper level shelving unit of a Toys R Us for an extended period of time, kind of hiding out so he can kind of beat the fuzz, shall we say, developing a relationship with Kirsten Dunst, who plays Lee, and nobody there knows he's an escaped convict. It's kind of a fun movie. Takes a little while to get going. That early part of this film takes a little bit of, patience to get through it. But it's amazing, once you get out of the headlines, what happens to you and how many people forget, even close to your home or fairly close to your home, forget who they're looking for. I like this. If you're looking for a good time at the movies, this is one of those films that you can go to and just come away going, yeah, that was a decent movie. Is it a great movie? No, there's some clunker moments in it, but I really did enjoy this more than I didn't, and Roofman's in theaters.
You know, I can only judge this based on the marketing and, you know, the trailer and the ads, but it just looks like a role that Channing Tatum is born to play. He looks like he's having a ton of fun just in the marketing.
Yeah, he does. He does in the film itself, too. And the other guy I love to call out here is the guy I love to see act, Peter Dinklage. He plays the store manager of this Toys R Us. And every time he's on screen, he tries to be serious, but you can't help but laugh a little bit because he seems like he's mean, but he's not, but he's mean, but he's not. I love Dinklage. He can always bring a smile to my face. I mean, think back to Elf and what he did there alongside Will Ferrell.
Well, that is theatrical, right? The movie, and Sue's not here this afternoon, but I got to say that I can speak for Sue. We are so looking forward to this tonight. John Candy, I Like Me.
I can't tell you what was right about John Candy or what was wrong, but he was my friend.
Who are you?
I'm a Mog. Half man, half dog.
Gus Malinsky, Polka King of the Midwest.
Del Griffin, Director of Sales, Shower Curtain Ring Division.
This is a lovable guy. This is a guy who, the minute you see his face, you're going to smile.
I think I'm going to cry when I watch this movie. I love Uncle Buck so much. I loved John Candy. Just to have Bill Murray in this documentary, when Bill Murray doesn't do much at all outside of just take the projects in a very unique way. Have you seen this one yet?
I have, and I'll tell you what. For those of us of a certain age, Mark, I know you're in this ballpark. I am as well. It's just, John Candy was legendary. on film. And he started in those SCTV days, and you get those early pieces of video that come in this film by director Colin Hanks, actually, who did it.
Yeah, Tom Hanks' son,
He put it together, and Tom's here, Steve Martin's along, Mel Brooks, Bill Murray, Macaulay Culkin, who at one point gives you the reality check of how old he is currently. He's 7 years older than John Candy was when he filmed Uncle Buck.
God, so well, and John Candy died at the age of 43. He was very, very young. It was 1994 when he passed away, which is hard to believe. But you know, for people who don't know who John Candy is, I would say you're going to be introduced to one of the most lovable actors that came out of the late 1970s and 80s, and had a very unique, I think, ability to just make people smile. And he had this soft side to him. That's why I love Uncle Buck so much, because I think that movie, even more than Planes, Trains, or his role in Home Alone, speaks to who John Candy really was. I could be wrong about this. Maybe the documentary will put that into better perspective.
You know, that's the cool thing about the documentary, Mark, is it makes John Candy look like a better person than he was as an actor. And that this is one of those documentaries that are few and far between when it comes to Hollywood, where John Candy off the screen was even better than John Candy on the screen in all aspects of his life. He definitely had issues. He definitely had some anxiety and some personal issues. We've talked about mental health a million times here on this show, and you and I have, and others. There's cases where Candy didn't believe how much people loved him. Candy didn't believe how much, you know, people didn't understand how much you picked on him for his weight.
Yeah, he was huge. He was a big guy. Right. That's why he had the heart attack. Look, he had self-image issues, and I can understand that. So I can't wait. That's on Amazon tonight. What else you got? Anything else streaming or otherwise for this weekend?
Yeah, let's mention just briefly here, Death in Apartment 603. You and I talked about that a little bit
over
text real quick.
I liked it.
It is a fascinating, fascinating tale. Also on Netflix right now is The Woman in Cabin 10. This is a mystery thriller. It's based on the book. Keira Knightley, Guy Pearce is along, and this person allegedly goes overboard. And is she crazy, or did something happen? It's actually a decent, quick mystery thriller. It only lasts about an hour and a half. I think this is a popular thriller that might do better than people think.
So last week, you previewed this show called Wayward, which is on Netflix right now with Toni Collette. And I watched the first episode, and I will not watch any more of those episodes. I didn't like it at all. Like, there's a trans thing in it, and it's just, blech.
Yeah.
So skip.
I like Toni Collette. I think Toni Collette is just this. She's perfect in playing a bizarre woman, and she does here.
But I say, blech. Tell folks where they can find your reviews. That's my
commonguy.com.
We'll see you. Good luck to the Brewers. Well, there's a guy named Patrick Myers who is the Freddie Mercury, if you will, of a band called Killer Queen. They are a tribute act and really one of the best on the planet. They're coming to St. Louis next week. And Patrick will join me after the top of the hour. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for John O'Leary because he's supposed to join me at 5:30, but he's on an airplane. It might have gotten a little delayed. The movie that is based on his life opened technically last night. Frank Cusimano was with us this afternoon. You saw Soul on Fire a couple of weeks ago, didn't you, Frank? Whoop, that's the wrong one. Drop that. Let's get him on here. Here we
go. I'm here.
Yeah, now you're there. You saw the movie a couple weeks ago, though, didn't you?
Mark, it's like the only movie I've ever seen where like at least five different times, you almost cry, or you do cry. But you know, I don't want to say it's like a sappy movie because I think it's an unbelievable movie. I hope the state supports it and the country supports it because it's almost like a commercial for St. Louis. It's really cool.
I was trying to think of another movie that is more St. Louis-centric and actually shows images of the city in a way that this one does. We barely get, you know, when they're traveling, when there's a road trip movie and someone crosses the Mississippi River, we might see one shot or something like that. But that's one of the great things about it is that they chose to film it here in Missouri. There were some tax credits. I was unaware of some of that until recently, but that certainly helped. I think Mike Parsons signed that in. I thought that Bill Macy was a little underwhelming as Jack Buck just because we all know how much gravitas Jack had and how big of a figure he was. However, having said that, most of the people who see this movie, they won't even realize who he is.
You're right. And it's a great point. In fact, I remember like the day after I watched it, No, the day before I saw it, I said to Julie Buck, I said, did you feel like when you were looking at William Macy or looking at your dad? And she said, no.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
I watched it. Nobody can be Jack Buck. He did a fine job.
I think I saw Julie sitting at the MAC during an early scene in that film because that was when Jack found out about John's accident. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit more. I think John's going to be able to join me. If not, we have one of the, you know, the guy who played his college roommate in the film? I thought he was really good. He might join me as a fill-in.
Yeah.
So he's a St. Louis kid, and I didn't know that. But if O'Leary, he's trying to cover us because John really wants to be on the show. But again, he's got an airport delay. All right, let's start Mizzou, Alabama. We talked about during the roundtable. Ethan and I are both going. Ethan has his Crimson Tide gear on this afternoon. I have my Mizzou gear on. I'm always so nervous about these games to the point sometimes where if I wasn't going, I don't even know if I would watch some of it because I get so damn nervous. And I'm even more nervous because I've seen Alabama play, and their quarterback is really impressive, and they can bust open for huge offensive plays. Having said that, you've been talking about Ahmad Hardy in our run game. What do you got for us tomorrow in Columbia, Missouri, Frank?
Well, look, you do have the nation's best running back, and you're playing against a defense that has been gashed by Florida State. They killed them. Georgia and Vandy, all three offenses ran on Alabama with a great deal of ease, and they didn't have Ahmad Hardy. The other problem is, and you know we've seen it all season long, is when Mizzou gives up a big play, a big pass play, I mean, the wide receiver is wide open. There are a lot of holes, or there have been a lot of holes in that Missouri secondary, and here comes Ty Simpson with 13 touchdowns and one pick and two All-American or two NFL wide receivers. So it's going to be Missouri's run game against their pass game. Here's the other thing. Is a lot of people want to like poke fun at Kalen DeBoer because he didn't win a national title his first year at Alabama. He's 13-2 in ranked opponent's game. If he's ranked and the opponent's ranked, he's 13-2. Eli Drinkwitz is 7-14 against teams from the top 25. So one coach has beaten a lot of good teams. The other still has to work on that.
Well, I don't think it's going to be easy for Mizzou, but I'm going to hope that the home field advantage and maybe some mistakes by Alabama tip it in our direction. Ethan, I know you feel the other way, right? And I can't even remember how you became a Crimson Tide fan.
Long story, basically have family that's big Tennessee fans, and as a young kid, opposition. Okay. That's really where it started, and it just kind of grew from
but
there.
But you grew up here in St. Louis, right?
Yes.
And you have never been to Columbia, period?
Nope. I grew up on the Illinois side, so we didn't really have much connection to, you know, that far.
So he's Frank. He's never been to a game. I mean, he's never even been to Como, so he's never been to a game. So that's going to be fun for
Ethan. I'm excited.
Ethan.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It's a shame you're going to see a loss.
I love Ethan, but this is a real character flaw. I think I need to talk to his parents.
I'm with you. I'm with you,
Frank. I hope you can forgive me. You know, but you know, we were talking last night at the Enterprise Center. And I think, you know, going into the game, I think there were some pretty high expectations, some excitement in the arena. But
was there a goalie last night? Because I didn't see the game. Do we have a goalie?
Well, I would go ahead and assume that Frank, myself, and all the 18,000 people that were in attendance were quite surprised by the final score we saw in the Blues Wild game.
Yeah. Not a great start.
It was nuts. I was up the press box with an NHL scout. I said, are they this bad? And his response was, well, it's just one of those games you have a couple of times a year. And let's hope it is only a couple of times a year. Look, they're a good team. They had 14 straight shots in the second period to Minnesota's none, and they scored nothing. They're going to think about this they stopped thinking about it last night. They'll be in Calgary on Saturday, and I think they're going to be just fine.
Frank, what can we possibly do here in St. Louis outside of lots of prayers to make sure that the Cubs don't advance to the National League Championship Series?
Spoken like a true Brewer fan and Cardinal fan. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think everybody's rooting for Milwaukee, even though they beat our tails for the last 10 years, too. So.
But all bets are off, man, and the Cubs seem to have momentum. And then the end of that Phillies-Dodgers game last night, that poor pitcher, right? Oh, my God.
Oh, little harmless ground ball to the pitcher. All he had to do was throw to first base like the catcher told him to do. Instead, he threw it to the catcher. It was a terrible throw, and that's the end of the Philadelphia Phillies season.
Well, while we're hitting on everything here, I'll jump to the other college football game, I guess, semi in the area. The Illinois Fighting Illini have a huge game against Ohio State Buckeyes this upcoming weekend, and they're 14-point underdogs. You know, I mean, they just got creamed a couple of weeks ago by Indiana, but they responded well with a great win against USC, but it's going to take a very impressive performance by the Illini, I think, to be able to pull off that upset, Frank.
Yeah, And as much as I want Mizzou to win, let's face it, if Illinois beats number one rank and defending national champion Ohio State, that's a bigger feat than Missouri beating Alabama. So we wish Brett Bielema and the Illinois crew a lot of luck. It's interesting, both these great games starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Frank, what do you got coming up on the show on Sunday night?
Sunday night, we're excited because we're going to have the story of the only junior college female coach in America who's coaching the men. She's a beautiful woman and a tremendous coach, and we're excited to tell that story. Plus, we're going to relive Jeff Gordon's sports writing career, 40 years with the Post, talk about his highs and lows.
Awesome. You have a great weekend. Are you going to Columbia tomorrow?
No, I got to be in studio, but I'll be watching every second of it. You
boring,
enjoy.
Boring. All right, Kusuma, we'll talk on Monday afternoon. Ethan, you're going to have so much fun because you've never been there. I mean, the atmosphere. I had this moment a couple seasons ago. I've spoken of this a couple of times. And, you know, you got to realize I've been going to games since, I think my first game was like 1985. When I was a freshman, sophomore, I never went. I went to Warren Powers' last game at Faurot Field. But I was there for the fifth down game. I survived Woody's Wagon and Bob Stahl, came into the Larry Smith era where things changed for Mizzou. But, you know, we were never at that caliber. I remember going to games when we were in the Big 8 and the Big 12, and Oklahoma would come to town, and we just looked like, size-wise and speed-wise, we were so overmatched. It wasn't even close, right? Even if we were somewhat competitive with other, you know, teams, when it came to the elite in the Big 12, and then, you know, the SEC comes along, everyone expects us to excel in basketball, not in football, and it's been, to a certain extent, a little the opposite. But you get the feeling, and it won't be quite the feeling that you will have next year because they're not done with the North End Zone, but it's real SEC football, and it feels magical in there.
And
so,
it's great for it to be getting to
yes,
that direction.
To that
it's
level.
Great for the area, great for the school, and it's going to be a fun football
game. It's going to be great.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.